Okay, we're going to finish up our series today. Title of the sermon, Being a Christian in a Pluralistic and Humanistic World. Pluralism means many belief systems, which we have gone over in this series. Humanistic, of course, is what we talked about last week. It is a faith, it is a belief system, even though it's not classified as one to the humanist. Today, though, I want to end this series now, looking back over this series, looking at all the false beliefs we've studied, it is very, very clear there are many people in need of hearing the truth out here in this world, of Christians sharing the truth. The false converts of religions are getting it done out here. Can we agree to that? They are sharing. Many times they outdistance the Christian church. In looking at all these false beliefs and how much darkness and untruth is out here in the world, a Christian can get overwhelmed. A Christian can get discouraged. How does a believer in Christ make a difference? Can we even put a dent in what the enemy is doing out here? Well, I want to answer that question in this final sermon. I would like to start answering that question by asking a question. Here's the question. What is the greatest threat, danger to humanity in the world today? Just shout it out if you have one. What do you think? Sorry? I can't hear you. Well, what is the greatest danger to humanity? So humanity itself to itself? Okay. Anything else?
Apathy.
What do you got, Anita? You put your hand up, or did you just comb in your hair?
Non-believers.
All right.
Self-interest.
Okay. Here's that question was given in a poll. Here's the main answers that came up. The greatest danger threat to humanity was war, poverty, lawlessness, climate change, abortion, disease, racism, false religions, humanism, some of the things you guys mentioned. But there's actually only one answer to this question. Go ahead and click. Sin. Sin is the greatest, has been and always will be, the greatest danger threat to humanity. It is what separates us from God. It is what brings God's judgment. And a person dies in their sins, they are eternally separated from God. There's only one cure for sin, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's not difficult. Sin is the cause of all evil and suffering in this world. This is the reason Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross, to provide the cure for sin. And the sharing of this cure is the purpose of the church. We are to deal with the root cause of all suffering and death in this world, to bring the truth to those trapped in the darkness of sin, to evangelize and to disciple those who put their faith in Christ. The church is the vessel used by God to promote the gospel. The church is the one tasked with showing the light of the gospel to the world through each true believer, each church member, by equipping them to live and share the truth of the gospel with those in the world. So today, I want to put us to task to evaluate ourselves as individual believers and as a church. Are we part of the solution or part of the problem? It'll be clear by the end, if you take an honest view of yourself and our church, where you fall. Now, to begin with, let's begin with the commission of the church, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. There it is. To make disciples means you person has to be saved. They have to be a believer, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So the evangelism is understood in this command. We are to evangelize, and then those who put their faith, grow them as disciples of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a knowledgeable, obedient follower of Christ. That is the job of the church, teaching them to observe all things. How is the church empowered to fulfill the Great Commission? Well, Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is given to you to give power. So we can do the second part here. And you shall be witnesses to me. Christ says, you'll be witnesses to me. What is our witness of Jesus Christ? What has he done for us that we should witness? He saved us. He died for us, right? That's the witness of the gospel, what he has done for us. That is what we are to share with the world. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. There it is. There's the cure. It's the only hope. It's the gospel that saves. How does the church accomplish sharing the gospel, the Great Commission? Well, Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Equipping of the saints. Equipping means educating each believer in the Word of God so they can live lives that God can actually use. Edifying of the body. Developing a spiritually healthy and faithful church membership. Unity. All of the church on the same page. Working as a team. Accomplishing the Great Commission. Each believer in the church should be knowledgeable in the doctrines of the church. Basically, the book of Romans we went through. Each believer is to be equipped, edified, and united in sharing the truths of the gospel, of the Christian faith, able to share these core truths with others. The ability to share what you believe and why you believe it and how you know it to be true. The problem with many churches and individual Christians, they are not able to teach anyone, but are babes in the faith. Even after many years of being Christians and being in a church, many are babes in the faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews confronts this problem. Hebrews chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's not a popular word with many people, exercise. Try to avoid it. But we are to exercise our faith. We are to grow up in the faith. Become knowledgeable about our faith. Churches and pastors are tasked with equipping, edifying the church membership. One thing today, many churches and pastors have failed to teach the Word of God properly. But also, many church members have failed to be instructed by good pastors. And many church members have failed to study for themselves the Word of God. Jesus wants his church, his followers, to be equipped in the Word understanding what they believe and why they believe it, so that they are not tossed to and fro by false teachings and teachers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, belief, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, and that is Christ. Children tossed to and fro, every member understanding and knowing the core doctrines and beliefs of the church, able to teach and share it with others, being able to discern false doctrines, false teachings, false teachers from the truth. For every church member to be mature in the faith, not in years in the church, but in understanding of the knowledge of the word of righteousness. Not babes, as the Bible says. Let me ask a question to Johnny to make my point here. Johnny, you are a master craftsman, are you not? Don't be humble here. Don't be humble. Everybody, is Johnny a master craftsman? Yes, okay, thank you. Johnny, how long have you been working with wood and making things with your hands? How long is that? 40 years? You're older than 40. All right, 60. All right. Now, Johnny, after 40 years in your occupation, you're learning your trade. Let's say someone like myself who has no skill wanted to learn from you. Could you teach me what you know, what you've experienced for the last 40? Could you put that knowledge into me? Okay. Now let me ask you another question. If someone wanted to join your construction team, and they said they had 30 years of experience, but they couldn't cut a straight line, what would you do with that person? All right. So you wouldn't put up with someone saying they had been a carpenter for 30 years, but they didn't know anything about being a carpenter. Okay. The point I'm trying to make here is this. In every aspect of our lives, we hold people accountable, ourselves and others. In our occupations, we make sure we learn and we grow up and knowledgeable of what we do and how we do it. Ruth, how long have you been doing organ? 40 years. Could you teach somebody how to play the organ? Of course she could. From our occupations to our jobs, we always require people to know what they're doing. And if they claim to know something and they don't, like Johnny says, they get rid of them. Like the person in my first service said that they would terminate the person. I asked, you meant fired, right? And they are like, yeah, fired. Okay, let's make sure. When you board a plane, do you expect the pilot to have years of service and knowledge? I mean, at least you hope, right? I'm going to point out one place in our lives that we never put any expectation on people to grow in knowledge. It's the church. We are happy to settle with being in the church 10, 15, 30, 40 years and barely know what the Word of God says. Christians who sit 10, 20, 30, 40 years who can't share the gospel with somebody, who can't explain to somebody what they believe and why they believe it. Because, oh, my faith is personal. Your faith is not personal. Jesus Christ died a public death for you. Your faith is not personal. It's not to be kept to yourself. And so we make excuses and we allow apathy. And someone pointed it out earlier. And other things. We allow apathy in the church where people do not have to know the Bible. As long as you attend church and do the right things according to a tradition of men. We are to grow up in all things to Him. Too many sitting in our churches cannot teach the core doctrines to somebody else. Ruth can teach 40 years of music experience to people. Johnny can teach woodcrafting to people. Why can we not share with people what this book says? How much more should we know the truths of the Bible and be able to share it? Only in the church do we accept apathy and ignorance of our members. We're all called to seek maturity in the faith. And that's when, and only when, the church will accomplish the commission of the church. And the church will grow. Ephesians 4:16. For whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We're the body of Christ here. We're a church. It takes every member stepping forth, equipping themselves, being equipped, being edified through the teachings of the church and through personal study and dedication so that every part can do, does its share. Causes growth of the body. Every church wants to grow. The question is, what is the motivation to grow? Some, because it's pride, they want the pews full. Looks good. Others, it's monetary, it's about money. You know, when the church interviewed me to come here, I said, if you want your church to grow in numbers, I'm not your man. I told him this directly. Mike's shaking his head. I said, I'm not about growing a church. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church. And in the book of Acts, God added to their numbers. And he did that because they were being faithful to preach the word. I said, I can grow the church in faith. It's up to God to grow the numbers. And what grows, how does the church grow? By every member being instructed, being equipped, being edified, united in the cause of the church. All Christians are tasked with being the church and serving the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all called to be equipped, edified, and united in this great cause. To be a mature believer who are active in reaching a lost world. Why? Why should we dedicate ourselves to this? Why should we exercise ourselves to this point? It's very simple. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. Set us free. Redeemed means being purchased. We were slaves to sin. We were trapped. We were in bondage. And Christ purchased us. He purchased our freedom with his own life. And redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse of sin, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have received the greatest gift ever offered to humanity. Forgiveness of all sin, eternal life with God. That is why we should dedicate ourselves to the calling of God on our lives. That is why we should dedicate ourselves to being the church. That's why we should dedicate ourselves to the equipping, edifying, and unity of all believers, of all ourselves. We must humbly die to self and present ourselves as living sacrifices to our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, sacrifice in the Old Testament was an animal laid down and gave its all, the entire life. God here is saying, I'm not asking you to literally die for me, but I am asking you to sacrifice your life, to give all of yourself to me and the cause of the church. Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking us anything that he himself has not already done. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God renews our mind. It helps us to understand God and his thoughts and his ways. To understand this world through his eyes. To understand ourselves through his eyes and not our own. So how does a believer in Christ make a difference in this pluralistic and humanistic world? Each believer dedicating themselves to the Lord, his church, and the great commission of the church to bring light to darkness.